because I have to get all in one. How do you? Do you feel like it's getting done, but you get done. But we do enjoy it. So today we're talking about in the series called Refresh, and we talk about the idea that God is the one who carries our burdens. If we're just giving to Him, He'll refresh us by our burdens. Today we're talking about being tired at work. You know, you think and we've been talking about this idea of soulfulness, being tired in our soul. And sometimes working is one of the things that fatigues us more than anything. And so think about being tired. I want to talk to you this morning about how it refreshes us. And we're going to take a story from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. So I'm going to just refer you to read this. Times 1 Kings 17 and 19. I'm going to tell you the story this morning. I'm going to tell you a man by the name of Elijah. Now, we can become fatigued in our souls can become tired when we have things that happen in our lives, like, you're and it's going right. You can become, let's use this morning, for instance. You can be really tired. Now, sales work without a staff work. And that just kind of rubs off my soul, okay? I think, wow, why can't we just get this off? And so, those types of things happen. Then you become doesn't really go the way you think it ought to go. And so, in our soul, I want you to think of the idea of tiredness. Is anybody tired this morning? a little tired, okay? Have you noticed you're kind of tired? The change of pace, they're doing something else, but the refreshment of the soul that we need. Just not mean that, because you see, working in a profession or in a career, you're just learning whatever it is, work is all that God has to do. He says, God set the in the first, between Adam and Eve, in the first couple, when he put them in the garden, he said, I want you to tend the garden. That was before sin. So work is something God invented. And we get separated. We've said, work is something bad because of sin. That's not true. Work is hard because of sin, but work in itself is not bad, okay? We tend to say that is work for God and that which is work for our earnings. Okay? The New Testament tells us that it's work and we're supposed to do everything to the angle of God. There is no distinction between God and earning. So it's work. In a spiritual yours has to be in the way of physical category, but we're all doing the same thing. We're all working. And so when we talk about being tired, we're not going to do that. And he's a prophet of God. Well, he was a preacher, so to speak. So it's not hard from you because work is what the matter you're doing. It's what God was asked you to do. And so the front of the story in Kings, the first chapter, the 17th chapter, the first verse, and it says, now, it was from Tishbe and Gilead. Let's just stop. We don't need any more than this. We just know he's from Tennessee, in that state. Okay? That's all we know. He popped out of the scriptures, and he comes back, and he reads the scriptures almost as fast as he comes. But Elijah was a great man. He was a man. It says this: if you choose to serve other than me, I will cause the heavens to become bronze and the ground to become bronze. What does that mean? It means that the heaven is not going to give any rain and the ground is not going to grow anything. This is what it says. Because King Ahab was an evil king. Was said that he was before because he served a woman. Now, you heard Jezebel. You haven't heard Ahab. Ahab married Jezebel from a country, and she worked his name was Baal. That's who he was. He was the God. And so he was the sacrifice to God. So the rain would come out of the sky and their crops would grow and they would flourish. And so they offered and Jezebel comes to Ahab and I worship Yahweh, the God, the true God. But no, because if I sacrifice my babies, I just make sure and there's crap in the ground, so I'm still going to serve God. And so in Israel, start to worship Yahweh on Saturdays and not through friends at a different place. And so they have two worships going on, and so I want you to go and say, you are mine. And so because you are worshiping beside me, I'm going to take the rain away. This story says, you are to go to the brook. I'm going to feed you with ravens. And so he goes to this brook, and he stopped the famine in the land. The famine is happening, and so the brooks are going to drop. But so he stopped until the brook drops, and while he's there for how long the time it is, the birds come and the infant drinks water from the brook. And then when the brook drops, God says to him, I want you to go to another tree to a and you need her, she's going to provide. You. And so she goes to the and she's cooking a meal. She has enough food. And then she says, I'm going to die. And so she walks up and says, would you please give me a cup of water? Where's the water going to come from? They don't have very much water. But he says, give me a cup of water. Would you please give me a piece of bread? And the woman and says, my father is that we're going to have, so that we're going to. And he says, well, would you please do this for me? I'm a prophet of God. And so she goes into the floor, mixes up her bread, she puts it on the roof, she gives him something to drink, she feeds him, and then she goes back to the floor, makes some water, look to see if there's any more, and there's enough. Can I use that word? No, I can't use that word because it's not magic. Okay? She looked on the divine promise of God from then until later. God flew and went for them. And she comes to she says, you serve. And so Elijah said, he took the son, and it said, that he would love him, and the son came back from the dead. True God. Now, the thing that is, and then God, I want you to go back to that so the Lord has been in fighting for 3.5 years. So just think about this, okay? You haven't had increase for 3.5 years. You haven't seen any rain for 3.5 years. What is the countryside look like? It looks like with 100-degree heat and everything is brown. There's no water for the lights. They're all brown. There's no water for the cattle. They're all brown. The people are in deep distress and should be concerned about the people. He said to another prophet of God who he doesn't know, like a secret prophet, go and find something from the east to eat. That's the man Ahab. Not concerned about his people, he's concerned about his donkeys. So Ahab, he says to him, I give the priests of Baal to a duel. We're going to meet me there, and you're going to, there's only one, and that is the same, except from heaven. So you drop from heaven on your side, you play my God to drop from heaven on my sacrifice, and the best part will determine who is the true God. So that my reign, so these priests above, 450 priests, their sacrifice, put their sacrifice on, and then they go around this altar, cutting themselves, normally doing worship, and for 9 hours straight. And during that time, over there on the side says, so I wonder if you're going to sleep. Maybe on vacation. And then he says something really crude. He says, actually, the bathroom. That's what it says. It says, is he himself? He's making fun because he knows there is no God that can do what they're asking him to do. And so now, Elijah goes to the altar, puts his sacrifice on top of the altar, and then he asks the people to pour water over top of that so that no one could look from inside of it. He pours of water over top of sacrifice on the top of the altar. And then he prays to his God. And this is what he says. God, you show yourself to be the one and only God. Would you send fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice that we offer to you? And instantly, there was fire from heaven, came down and consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the water. You know what the people said? The Lord is the true God. We will worship the Lord. The people turned to him, went and killed 450 prophets of Baal. King Ahab is working on this, and he's just, what am I going to do? And then he comes back and says, now go pray for rain upon the land. And so he says to Ahab, get down the mountain because coming. And so he goes up on the mountain, he looks to the east, to the west, and he starts to pray. And he said, first a cloud the size of a fist, and then there was a cloud the size of a car, and then there was a cloud the size of, and it started to grow. And he went to the mountain, and he beat Ahab to Jezreel, the capital city of of Samaria. And as he was going down the mountain, it rained for the first time in 3.5 years. It was a downpour. The New Testament says that Elijah is a man like us, with a nature like ours. And he prayed rain, and he prayed that it rained. But he had a man who is a nature like ours. Now, the man who has seen all these miracles, these great movements of God, in his personal life, in the life of people, he has seen the resurrection of the dead, he has seen stuff and rain spread, he has seen heaven. You would think that you are right now with you. But Elijah has a tired soul. He's been working for 3.5 years straight. And if you don't think that living out on your own without having food and waiting for somebody else to bring you food, waiting for God to do, if you don't think that's work, you haven't understood. That's work. He's working for God. When you work from your soul, it's very tiring, and he's tired. When he gets to Jezreel, this is the hometown, this is the kind of the summer palace of Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel is what Elijah has already done. He has killed 450 of her prophets. And she is ticked. And this is what she says to Elijah. "I'm going to kill you," is what she says. "Before he's out, I'm going to kill you." And this is what Elijah did. Can you read that? What does it say? He's afraid. This is a man who has seen fire in heaven. He's seen the resurrection of the dead. He has seen food delivered to him. He's seen all these things. Then we would say, why can he be afraid? He served the way. But he has a tired soul. He has nothing left. He is spent. And it says, Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, town in Judah, where he left the servant, and he went alone into the wilderness traveling. And he sat down under a thousand broom tree and prayed that he might die. And his prayer to God is this: "I certainly failed my father's hand, but I failed to get rid of worship." Now he doesn't say that, but that's what he's saying is, me and my ancestors are no good. We haven't accomplished what you've asked us to do. We haven't done what you've asked us to do. We have not gotten rid of Baal worship in our country. He's alone. He's afraid. He's tired. And he thinks that he's failed. And so he flies down in front of the tree in the only shade he can find, and he goes to sleep. Now, I want you to understand that Elijah is a man like you and me. He's got the same nature. So that means that even we can fall to depression and despair. See, that's happening to Elijah right now. He is in a depressed state. He's discouraged, and he's despairing of life. In fact, he says, "God, take my life. It's no good anymore. Just get me out of this world." So what does God do? Well, this is what God does. He restores Elijah's soul. And in the next verses after this, you see how God does this. The first thing he does is he says, "I want you to continue to sleep." So as he was sleeping, God didn't come to him up. He let him sleep. Because sometimes in our lives, it's physical fatigue we need to rest from. We need actual sleep. Do you know in the scriptures it says that God gives to his own children in their sleep? It's God who gives sleep. You look as a sleeping pill. Well, that may help, okay? But it's God who gives real rest in sleep. bread. Now, I really should have some fresh baked bread here this morning. Because then you would have smelled that, and you would have said, yes, that smell would be refreshed. Okay? And you've walked inside, and someone has put a glass of cold ice water for you. Isn't that? You know, when you're tired and you got nothing, water and bread sound really good, actually. So the angel gave him something to eat and put him to sleep. He woke him up another 8 to 10 o'clock and he says, here's some for you and here's some water for you, but eat this because your journey is going to be long. And so he gave him something else to eat and to drink. Now, is an name for Mount Sinai. And what is the Mount Sinai? That's where Moses received the Ten Commandments. That's where the children were with God, so to speak. And it says, he went to Mount Horeb, and he climbed, and he got, and God said, why are you here? And Elijah said, I want you to go to a mountain, and I will meet you there. And you know the story. It says he goes out of the cave, he goes out of the mountain, and the first thing that comes to him is a great wind. Now don't just think of a little nice little breeze. Think of a tornado type wind, okay? So a huge wind comes and bursts across the face of this mountain, and it's the wind came wind. The next thing that happened was there was an earthquake. The mountain is trembling. And it says that God is not in the earthquake. And then it says there was a great fire that came across the face of the mountain. And it says God is not in the fire. And so it went back inside the cave. God wasn't in the wind, wasn't in the fire, wasn't in the earthquake. Say that? Why would he say something like that? Or think that kind of thing? Because what he seen God do? All the things he had done were great miracles of God. And he was looking for a great miracle of God to tell him what to do next. And then in the cave, he heard a quiet whisper. A quiet whisper. And God spoke to him in a whisper. So he went back out onto the mountain. And this is what the conversation that ensued. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Same thing he asked him when he first arrived. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I have been selflessly serving the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down the altars, and killed every one of your prophets. And I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. What's he saying here? I'm tired. It's so interesting to see that God refreshed him physically, but now he's refreshing him with his word. His quiet whisper to his soul. You see, there's only one thing that will refresh a tired soul. It's the word of God. He goes on and tells Elijah, you are not alone. I have reserved 7,000 people who have never bowed their knee to Baal, and they're in Israel. And then he says, I have three things I want you to do, and he gives them a new assignment. Now the assignment's not important. because a lot of God, every one of them, okay, or the people that he assigns to do them. The point is that God says, I have more work for you to do. I am not done with you yet. You are not done. I am with you. And he says the very same thing in different words. We see this in the New Testament. This is what God says to us. You are witnesses, and be sure that I am with you. You see, when we're tired, we think that God has abandoned us. Have you ever been in a situation when you're sleeping in your bed at night and you start to pray to God and you feel like prayers are bouncing off the ceiling back down to you, like they make no difference at all? And what happens, we feel, well, God doesn't really care. Or when your friend yeah, we want to be with you, but leave you hanging, and you think you're alone. This is for any person who thinks they're all alone. And the truth is this: I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's what God says to Elijah, and that's what he says to us. That's his word for us when we become discouraged. You see, discouraged is Satan's number one tool. It's his number one tool for all believers in Jesus Christ. He will discourage us, thinking you are all, you're only one, and you know, you're just a failure anyway. And God would say, you're not a failure. You're one of the 7,000 I reserved. You are my witness to all people who serve God. There's another person in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says this: so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Work enthusiastic for the Lord, for you know nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. The work you do, if you do it for the Lord Jesus Christ, you do it with that, and you give energy to. You talk to the people you need to talk to, and you do your work. He says nothing you do is that useless. I'm with you always. I've given you work to do, so don't be discouraged. I work with you. You see, refreshment in our lives for tired souls comes from God himself. So to remind you of this morning is this. When you have a soul, you probably first of all need to realize that it can't be physical. You may need to sleep. It can be related to your food. You may need to eat something that's nourishing, not junk. You may need to get rid of the caffeine and drink just some water. I'm not saying that they have to do that. I'm just saying these are things that I think you can get from this scripture. Bread and water, two basic ingredients that we need. Sometimes we need to go back to the basics. Rest, bread, and water. And then you need to listen for the small voice of God. We all want to see God in the big things. And what showed us is that God is not always in the big things. He's not always in the great miracles. What he is in his word. This week, I got an email that invited me to a reading plan in the YouVersion Bible. It's an app that you can get, and then you can share those reading plans, but it invited me to a reading plan. And there was a devotional and some verses, and it was taking time to sit down and do that. Okay? Which I've been doing. I read in my office. I do tons of reading the scriptures. there's times when I get tired and I don't do it on my own, for my own soul. And so this verse, it just spoke to my soul. It was kind of like God just started speaking quietly. So I want to encourage you, if you have a tired soul today, take a little time. Go out yourself. Open up your Bible. Open up your app, whatever you use to read your devotions with, and just start to read a verse and think about it. Let God speak to your soul, because it's in the quietness of a one-on-one time with God where He speaks quietly to us. And He will minister refreshment to your tired soul. Father God, we thank You that You always meet us. Lord, You tell us that we're out of step with You, and you convict us of our sin. But You have said that if we will confess our sin and repent of it, You will meet us there. Lord, You will refresh our souls. And I pray that You would do this for us. Lord Jesus, that You would meet us where our souls are tired and discouraged sometimes and despairing. Would You meet us there and refresh us in these coming days? In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. Have a great day.